adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With that now. And Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. That's right. No, Adam Carolla. I'm Dr. Drew. And he is Gavin Rossdale. Yes. He's Gavin Rossdale co-hosting with me tonight. You know him from Bush. You know him from his new band, Institute. Yes.
And now I'm Dr.
And now tonight you're a doctor. I'm anointing you as a doctor. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We will be taking your calls. And so it's great to see you. It's been like 8 years or something
since I did the show.
We sat face to face.
I've been studying all day to be on the
You have. Yeah. So you took one day to become a doctor. It's fantastic. Yeah. You're a quick study, I must say.
Studied.
So, and where do you guys live now?
That and surgery shows.
Surgery?
I find them really helpful.
You
surgery
like that?
Shows.
Yeah, I do a show on Discovery Health Channel Wednesday night, midnight. If you guys are, it's called Strictly Sex. And I'm the only host on television that gets to scrub in on surgeries because I'm a doctor.
Okay.
I get to go do the penis enlargements, do the vaginal reconstruction.
Can
stuff.
They really do that? I mean, that's
yeah,
the question.
Yeah, they know they
Not
really.
Not for me, a friend of mine.
No, a friend
know.
Of yours, of course, needs this surgery. And, yes, I was shocked. I was very skeptical. I still am. I still believe that guys that are that preoccupied with their schwants really have a self-esteem problem more than. But there are people that are outside of normal that might want to do this. And what they do is they cut the tendon that attaches it to the pubic bone. So, mm-hmm. And then they actually hang weights off it for a few weeks, and that pulls it out about an inch. And then they take the skin down and sew in some cadaver tissue. Basically, looks like a Pop-Tart. Don't vomit. You like surgery shows.
I like Pop-Tarts, so well, that could be the end of it.
Or could put you on the other side. I'm just saying. You could kind of go the other way. But anyway.
Right.
And then they put the skin back, and you've got another inch of girth that way, too. And the urologist that does this out here in Beverly Hills claims he has the happiest patients on earth, but...
You know that philanthropically speaking, what is it? Anthropology speaking, there was a tribe. There was a tribe where they place pebbles inside the penis
in the urethra.
I don't know along the side.
Under the skin, yeah.
Yes, and so that as they grow into men and as they mature, you know, they become obviously these incredible lovers because the women are
happy with that.
Very, very happy with this. With this new style.
The speed bumps on the side of the penis.
There you go.
They don't spell anything out or any weird...
I suppose that could be the future.
Any weird tribal kinds of designs or something.
Good Lord. Good comes to mind.
Holy God. yes. And so tell me about the band. You've got a new CD, Distort Yourself.
Yep.
And it's coming out on September 6th.
Yeah, just coming out real soon.
And you're in the midst of promoting the hell out of it.
Promoting it, doing all my thing. I just came from the video edit we did with Kevin Kerslake.
And somebody from Helmet.
It's really excited about that. The producer of the record, yes, Paige Hamilton from Helmet.
He's the producer, got mm-hmm. it.
And I just done it like a kind of real progressive modern rock record is what I think it is.
I read some of the reviews and they were saying that it's very real. People would be very impressed with it.
Really?
Substantial. Cool. Substantial reels, things like that were being...
Good.
Yeah.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, in this world of the crazy celebrity, it used to be, you know, coming up, celebrity was this sort of byproduct of talent and achievement.
It has nothing to do with it now.
Now, that almost gets in the way.
Right. Where'd you grow up?
London.
In London. Were you educated out there?
Yeah.
Did you go to Sandhurst or Eton or any of those wild places?
I didn't. But I ran out of school.
You got out of there fast.
Yeah.
Well, you know, think about the British system as compared to here. By the time you're in sixth grade, you've got about what we get after first year graduate school. You know what I'm saying? I mean, after college, you're graduate school. That's about where you've been at sixth grade in England.
Right.
No?
I don't know.
Everyone speaks the Queen's English. You can understand them.
Yeah, there's... It's all swings and roundabouts. I've always had this idea that maybe once people in America, when they got to college, they start getting really...
they get educated then.
Very educated.
Yeah, that's the only point at which they get educated.
Right.
If they're lucky enough to go and afford it now, for God's sakes, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
I heard your wife sings on one of these songs. You know?
She does sing on the song Ambulances and sings great on it. She's a really good singer and is often around where I am. And
my wife is
convenient.
A crazy fan of hers, like a stalking kind of fan. She was like,
right.
Like she's.
But in fact, the last time I saw you was in the dressing room, wasn't it, at Universal?
Were you there? I don't remember. I saw you because I was
a blur of
because I was so busy. With
that
her.
Happens to me.
No, it was my wife. It's like, I got to have my picture with Gwen. And I remember meeting Gwen's dad, who seemed like a very delightful.
Yeah, he's great.
And she, you know, my wife's from Orange County too. And I think if my wife, not that she's unhappy in her life, but if she could pick another life,
right.
She would live your wife's life.
That a lot of people would jump for that. Yeah, she has a great life, my wife, and she works hard.
Do you guys see enough of each other? Is it
just about enough? Yeah. Just about enough.
Are there kids coming in the future?
You know, we're looking forward to that. But right for now, she's on top of the world and she's on fire.
Yeah,
so
you gotta wait.
It's more up to. You know, for us, it's a little bit easier. We don't get to carry the child and the body's changed.
Oh, as men?
As men.
Everything is easier. When she actually has a kid, you'll be blown away. Right. You'll think, oh my God, how do they know these things? How do they do this? This is magic.
Wow.
Because the part of their brain fires off that it's just dead on us.
Right.
Dead. Very complex. Let's take some calls. Speaking of dead male behaviors, let's talk to Doug, who's 26. Hey, Doug?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on Loveline.
Hi. Here's the story. My wife does not dig porn. She does not like that I look at porn. She's really adamant about it, and I like to. I would like to respect that. I try to respect that. And it's like putting down smoking. You know, I find myself making excuses and going back to it all the time. And my question.
So, let me just get this straight. You're just perfectly fine with the fact that your wife hates porn. You'd love to respect that. But for now, just you should better forget it. You're going to keep watching it, keep looking at it.
Yeah,
basically. Okay, I just want to make sure I have it right.
Where's the problem?
And what men like to... part of the thing you got to understand is women experience pornography very differently than men. And she has to understand that, too. I mean, that's one of the things you have to help her sort of straighten out on. Women feel threatened by and sort of feeling as though less than. Like, friend, you look at porn, you feel less than... Does that mean anything about your wife? You know what I mean?
Say if
you're
looking
at... I'm just saying, Gavin, if you were looking at porn, would it have anything to do with your wife?
No.
Absolutely not.
Nothing, right?
Yeah.
Males seek diversity. They look at stuff. He had to answer that. I see your record wranglers out there smiling. I was like, yeah, of course he answered that. But the fact is males look at pornography because it's in them. It's in their sort of genetic makeup. And on the other hand, your wife has a point, and if she feels threatened by it and if she feels like exploitative of women, maybe you guys can kind of reach some sort of compromise.
Why can't you find the porn that she likes?
Yeah, well, she's in youth ministry, so, like, she feels very strongly about, you know, the female self-image and, you know, the proliferation of pornography.
She has a point.
You know, really, really degradative to women and everything. And
it is.
I understand that, and that's another thing that I want to respect. But
so it's not really that in her that she feels threatened or feels less than because of it.
No,
a philosophical opinion that feels she feels strongly about.
And the thing that I'm troubled with is, you know, I want to be able to get away from it. I want to be able to put it down, but I keep going back to it, and it's so compulsive and almost addictive. Mm. And I was wondering if that's. And anyway, common, is there any sort of legitimate research behind the notion of porn addiction?
Oh, there's tons of it.
Legitimate research into men liking
Not
porn.
Men liking porn, but men being addicted to porn. And you really don't fit the addiction spectrum. You sort of are more in the compulsive bracket. Addiction really is needing higher levels of arousal and sort of getting into weird stuff and spending money and having real serious consequences. And by the way, having a family history of alcoholism and often having been sexually abused, that's sort of what creates the sexual addiction. There's a fellow by the name of John Seeley, and there's an organization. There are organizations out there, if you look on sexual compulsion and addiction on the web, that actually are doing lots of research on. In fact, Masters and Johnson now does a lot of their research in this area. And these guys believe that porn addiction, internet porn addiction, is one of the most rapidly increasing mental health categories that we have going today. I'm not saying about the way you look at stuff, Gavin. That's normal.
Hey, you know, I feel quite normal about this stuff.
Good.
I mean, I think that maybe there's also something about, you know, to say porn is a very, very wide
spectrum. Yeah, yeah.
So it might be easier to understand what there is, and also maybe sort of some areas of porn that is made by women, you know, for women. That may be a sort of some kind of middle ground that isn't so heinous.
Right, so physically focused.
Well, because most of, you know, a lot of porn traditionally porn began around the idea of four men. I mean, it's often sort of centered around. So the idea is that the viewer can put himself in the position of the of the person.
Well, in fact, they're doing research now. I know some. I actually went down to Emory and participated in some of this, and they're doing functional MRI scans on men and women looking at porn. And it turns out when men look at porn, they have an absolutely characteristic and reproducible pattern that pretty much all men get. They get a visual cortical response, they get an arousal response in the temporal areas, and in the amygdala, and they get this extremely powerful appetite response. In women, they get a little less visual response, moderate to high levels of arousal, no appetite. So when they see porn, it doesn't trigger drive or appetite, it just triggers sort of an arousal. So it's a completely different biological experience for them, and we need to understand that. In fact, to trigger the arousal systems in on those same functional MRI scans, you have to engage those women in intimate conversation. Then you see the arousal, the drive systems kick in. Isn't that interesting? And the men are like, what, huh? Like, what?
Well, men, we're traditional. We just short circuit, right?
It's not traditional. You know? It's in our gene. It's in how the brain functions. It's in the circuitry.
Wow.
And that's listen, what makes you and me a man is a single little bit of DNA called a Y chromosome. What makes a woman a woman is two huge pieces called X chromosomes. What makes us a man is something very simple, and it's decaying. It's getting less and less with time. So it has the same amount of information. You made pretty much all the same. What makes women women, each X chromosome is different. They have two huge ones with tons of diverse information on it. So it's different than what makes a man, and it's diverse woman to woman. So it's why we have all these tremendous changes and tremendous differences that we all need to appreciate and not sort of pretend they're not happening.
So, Doug, what are you going to do about this out of interest?
I don't know. I'm still up in the air. You'd mentioned a book, and I didn't quite catch that. What was that?
Did I say both?
You said on the internet there'd been studies.
Oh, yeah, the sexual addiction compulsivity. Just look up sexual addiction compulsivity. There's actually organizations out there around this.
But leave the cookies alone, yeah? Anything that pops up when you Google that kind of stuff.
Professional organization. All right, let's get now. This is Anthony, 26.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I'm right here, man.
We're right here with you. You're on the air. Anthony?
Call
who goes by Anthony. Are you there, Anthony?
Anthony.
This is where you talk, buddy. Boy, that's what you call freezing up.
Anthony?
There he goes. Oh. Well, he had a question about premature ejaculation. It says it takes him 30 seconds to go.
I think it just came.
That was it.
That was the potential.
And then he wants to know last. I was going to say that there's actually, it's very hard to change that for some men. I mean, people have tried for years and all kinds of therapies and stuff. And it turns out, one of the most reliable ways to do that is with medication. And there's actually a medicine going to come out in about a year that will triple or quadruple this time.
Really? Isn't it like kind of just anxiety-based?
People speculate that it's associated with that, and it clearly is, but it's so deeply tied into the function of the autonomic nervous system that it's too simplistic to say it's just about being anxious. Mm-hmm. It has to do with how his engine works, really.
Right.
His engine just is running at higher RPMs and trips more easily.
Right. Well, good luck with that, Anthony.
Let's play a game. We're going to play a game, Gavin. I'm with Gavin Rossdale, and we're going to play a game called Germany or Florida. Adam long ago was sort of having discussions every day at Jimmy Kimmel Live. They do the writer's table. They sort of discuss what's going on in the world. And they all began realizing when something macabre and bizarre happened, it seemed to happen in either Germany or Florida. So now our callers call in and give us the story, and we
tell them based.
Germany or Florida. Angie, go ahead.
Okay. One unsuspecting victim surfing the internet for a good time arranged a rendezvous with his newfound lover and
rendezvous. See, I'm talking about the British educational system compared to ours.
So, it can happen.
You idiot!
Andrew's from Bakersfield. I'll give her a break. So go ahead. She had a rendezvous
with his newfound lover and ended up in the chopping block, literally. His very last lover turned out to be a murderer, but not just any type of killer. This killer had been harboring cannibalistic fantasies for years, aching to act them out. He arranged a date with the fellow, and during their lovemaking, whipped out a screwdriver and stabbed him beyond recognition. Later, he methodically butchered the body, storing all the parts in his refrigerator. But his plan was foiled when he realized that he, too, was disgusted to eat the human flesh, and cannibalism was not for him. The man was sentenced to a 13-year-old jail term.
All right, we got the picture. Angie, Germany or Florida? Gavin?
Huh? Huh?
Wait, hold on.
Well, I'm happy to, should we let Angie, what does she feel?
No,
what
no, she, mind, knows,
she knows. She knows, she knows.
We got to tell her.
Well, it sounds very German.
It sounds German to me.
Sounds
too.
Very German, except the execution of it, no pun intended, because there was a case in Germany that just was, I'm recently aware of, where two men met on the internet and they ended up.
It was a consensual
eating
thing.
Consensual, yes. And they ended up frying his penis
yes,
with garlic and onion.
That actually was one of our first Germany reforms.
Obviously, a mass bottle of Chianti with it as well. But so.
Obviously.
Just for the sake of, it sounds German, but I'm worried that they didn't go through with it. So
the screwdriver,
I'm thinking,
you're right. The screwdriver sounds Florida, yeah. But the rest of it sounds German. So I'm going Germany.
I'm going Florida.
Florida. All right. What is it, Angie? Germany or Florida?
Germany.
Germany.
Okay.
You should go with your first.
I should. Yeah. I. You know, it seems to happen a lot there, but I didn't want to be. Didn't want to typecast the Germans.
So,
you know?
So the sort of the whole butchering aspect, the whole precision dismantling of the human body. That's German. That's German.
Yeah, it is.
The Floridians
of course it
would
is.
Just toss them in the swamp.
Yeah.
All right.
It is.
Here's a call for Gavin Risa.
Hello.
Is that right? Risa. 20.
Risa.
Risa.
Hey, Gavin. I just have to say, I used to be a huge Bush fan. And I miss your music, and Letting the Cable Sleep was like my song back in the day, man.
Thank you.
It's great. I was just wondering, I haven't kept up with your band, and I wanted to know if you're still together. What are you guys doing for the year? You know,
the band Bush or the band Institute.
Oh, see, I didn't even know.
Well, no, this is good. You know, Risa, you give me the chance to spread the word and the love about my new band. Because
okay, cool.
Bush has been, Bush has been on this kind of hiatus. And sometimes when people, it's not like I left Bush.
Okay.
I didn't really know what was happening. So in the meantime, I just continue to want to work, to desire to come in and be on this radio show and go out on tour and make records, as I love to do. And so I began this band, Institute, and this new record comes out, I think it's the 13th of September. It's
cool.
Distort Yourself. Could be the 6th. What do I know? I'm only the singer. But so that comes out, and we're playing in San Diego. Our first show on Thursday at the Casbah. It's the first ever show, and then Friday at the Roxy up here in
I'm
L.A.
I'm not 21, so.
Oh, well, next time.
Check out the Casbah. Maybe it's 18
But I think you're going to, I so appreciate your support, and I love Bush,
hey,
too.
Hey, Risa, keep listening. We're going to play a song by Institute, like, right now.
Very
How's that
cool.
Sound? All right?
Okay,
all right,
enjoy.
Well, I hope everything works out with you and Gwen, because I don't like her music anymore, but
what?
I still love you. Yeah, it's true.
What is with our caller? You couldn't
squeeze that one in.
Call without that? Really? And by the way, everyone else loves her new music.
By the way, this
yeah, I like it.
Now,
my wife goes insane.
There's so many people that love it. It's kind of bizarre to hear anyone that doesn't love it. So
yeah,
that's all right.
You can't even
perspective.
Take it.
It's all right.
Whatever. It's her point of view.
She still loves me, so it's all right. There's some love for the family.
Tell me about Bulletproof Skin.
Bulletproof Skin. What is it? It's my welcome return. It's the fact that I've been away, and it's coming back with the gloves off, the survival song.
Institute, Bulletproof Skin.
Desire you need.
Institute, Bulletproof Skin. You can actually download that song now on iTunes. Gavin Rossman's helped me out here tonight.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you. It's been a long time. It's feels like old home time. It's just really good having you back. And I appreciate you coming in, and we will take a little break. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. And when we get back, we've got Vince, who has something bulging on the top side of his genitalia. Love Line callers are preoccupied about the strangest things, but we'll talk about that after
Poor Vince. We'll sort it out.
Love Line.
Okay, wait. My hair. Oh.
We'll be right back.
That's right, Loveline, Gavin Rossdale in the seat, filling the big shoes of Mr. Carolla, whose show is premiering tonight on Comedy Central. I believe it's 11:30. Those of you that are listening on Tuesday, you can still pick it up. I think it's Monday through Thursday. Anyone that wants to be in the audience there, it's 1-866-HEY-ADAM, H-E-Y-ADAM, at least the way he spelled it. God knows if that's correct or not. The band is Institute. We just heard
Bulletproof Skin.
They nicely crossed that out.
I love it.
Yeah, it's great. And you can download that at iTunes. I promise Vince and his bulgingness, and here it comes. Vince, 22.
Yep, that's me. Adam, or Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
You're the only intelligent doctor, I mean, the only intelligent radio personality doctor on the air.
All right. And that's always a scary place to start, Vince, but thank you.
Very excited to talk to you. And, I love Bush. I just don't want to say that. I just want to say that on the radio. I do enjoy the band.
We've got Bush.
You heard that last song. It's pretty amazing.
So I hope you get...
Let's get to my question.
Yeah, let's get to your question. Yeah, get on. you love
from
Bush.
From what I have looked up on the internet, there are about six things that run along the top of the penis. four.
But only one you can see on top of the skin. The other stuff... The urethra and the artery and the vein that's deeper and the nerve, too, that's all well into the soft tissues. You're not seeing any of that. If you have something you're seeing sort of on the surface...
Yeah, when I have an erection. I can't really see it when I don't have an erection, though. There's two running along the outsides.
Two what?
Two running along the outside of the top that I can tell.
Yeah.
And one of them has hardened up. It's about the size of a vein, you know, on your arm, but it's not.
Well, you can actually get spontaneous clotting of the veins in the penis, and that's actually rather a significant thing if that's happened to you. Is that what we're talking about? Where actually it feels hard and ropey now.
You need to
see a doctor about that, Vince. It can happen in a normal situation. I've seen that happen, but it also needs to be worked up to be sure that you don't have an abnormality in your clotting system. You become, for some reason, hypercoagulable. And that can be a significant problem. It can be a lot of different things can cause that. But one place you see those sorts of things happen spontaneously can be in the veins on the surface of the penis.
Giving plasma, anything like that?
Getting dehydrated, certainly that's a possibility. So maybe they over dehydrate you with the plasma. But, you need a series of tests on your actual clotting system. It's called protein C and protein S that they can be acquired as you age and as you sort of interact with the world, the environment. Things can change in your clotting system that can put you at risk. And check it out. It's pretty simple. You might need to see a hematologist to get it finally checked out. And also check out the you know, it depends how much you really have to get into. Maybe just see an internist. They also would want to check that area down there to make sure the flow back into the pelvic area is okay. Sometimes tumors, lymphomas, things like that can affect the flow out and can cause bulging veins down there. A little too esoteric for this show, I think. Let's take Jessica 24. But
good luck,
Gavin. Should you have the bulging issue, you'll now know. Jessica 24.
Hi.
Hey.
Actually, I had a question. I had a baby 4 months ago, and right now I am exclusively breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if it's true that you can't get pregnant while you're nursing. I've heard a couple of different things.
It is. Gavin, what do you think?
I don't know if they connected. I would imagine you could get pregnant.
Well, it does actually work as a natural contraceptive, but it's not what you'd call a reliable contraceptive.
Yeah.
I thought I thought that natural contraceptive was the idea of not wanting to sleep with your husband or partner. You'd
there
have a
is,
child.
There is that too. And in fact, that's part of the reason that you know, women very often have a tremendous drop in their sex drive for that first year after having a baby. And some of that is God's way of preventing another baby from coming along. And also part of it is the breastfeeding. Because obviously, if you're using all of your resources to raise one child, you certainly don't want to be also having right. sucked the life out of you through a placenta. Yes, and as a result, we've evolved in such a way as for that to work like a contraceptive, but it's not super reliable.
Oh, okay. And I also had hello?
Yep, we're listening.
Oh, I also had a question for Gavin. I don't hear too much about, like, you and Gwen. Are you, I mean, you guys are still married and everything, and...
We'd like to keep it on the down low. You know, we keep it off the radio. Yeah,
yeah,
we keep it real in the household.
But I wasn't sure.
No, we're doing good. I mean,
never hear anything about it. So.
Right. Well, you know, we
that by the way is usually a very, very good sign.
Yeah, we're doing real good. You know, I think she's great, and the rumor is she likes me too.
Let me ask this: her parents are still together?
Yeah,
yeah.
And they met as childhood sweethearts.
And your parents?
No, I come from a family of explosions.
Of explosions, and at when you were a young age or older, or
you know, about 11.
11
when it all kicked
apart.
Off. Yeah.
Were things okay up until that point?
Yeah, no.
Really,
it was a little rocky. Okay. Little rocky.
Alcoholism or
little just dissatisfaction,
unhappiness.
Little unhappiness.
And did they end up with?
Well, the thing is, the way that I see it, you know, being English, we kind of don't go into these problems too much.
Yes,
what we try and do is we just say, I always looked at it like, well, when I get married, I really want to do it one time and one time
the right way.
Yeah, so that's how it was.
You know, we get a lot of, and over the years, we've had British bands come in here and get very disturbed about doing this show. It's like, personal problems are personal.
And maybe they're not even problems.
and you guys don't like to look at it, just to put your chin out and go forward.
Yeah, there's an element of that. You know, it's the question of the balance of analysis or not, you know, and how you deal
and
with
action.
It. There's a sense of that sometimes if you kind of delve if you get too introspective that you cease to live and move forward.
No
and
action.
Just take the chances. Yeah,
interesting. So, Jessica, Gwen comes from a very stable family, so that predicts to some extent, though Gab might screw it up, but it predicts to some extent that yep. things are going to be good for them. And naturally, their relationship is not chaotic. You don't hear about a lot of stuff. They're paying attention to the relationship, spending time together. They yep. maintain a household. All the things that you're supposed to do to have a real relationship. Unfortunately, a lot of people that become celebrities and get into entertainment stuff come from very disturbed family systems and don't know how to establish stable relationships. And you can read about that in The Star.
Yeah.
Right?
I like the speed with which a lot of couples, especially celebrity couples, manage
trouble.
To like, well, no, they just like, they love someone one day, then the next week they love someone else the following week.
It's bizarre,
like
right?
Yeah, I've always been, you know, amazed by that. I like it. It's not, cool.
It's cool, but it's not what we call healthy. So,
there's a lot of variety, though. It's like a Kellogg's cereal packet.
Well,
sorry, is that advertising?
Here's a 16-year-old with that very problem. Alicia?
It's Ashley.
Ashley. Well, they have it up here as Alicia. I apologize, okay. Ashley. What's going on?
I don't know if it's my past with my dad, I guess you could say, or I've never really had a male fatherly figure in my family. Mm-hmm. I'm adopted, mm-hmm. and the parent that I live with now never got married. Uh-huh. And my dad, he got my mom pregnant when she was really young with my older brother. As soon as he found out, he hopped the border over to California. They were in Mexico while this happened. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as he knew that she had my older brother, he came back and got her pregnant again with me.
Good times.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And I was wondering if that could have a possible effect on my relationship with guys because...
Gavin, what do you think?
Well, I think that this is like a perfect example for me objectively where you know, as opposed to looking backwards... as into trying to look through your parents' history as to why that might affect you, I would come more from an angle of like, what kind of boys are you meeting?
Yeah, that's also another thing because...
That's more of a crux for me.
Well, yeah. What happens though, the way the brain works though, is that things that terrorize us in childhood become sources of attraction in the young
adulthood. But my mom is like such a great person. She's done such a good job.
I know, but you have to learn to read your attractions. You need to not, what Gavin's bringing up is very much to the point, not go after the guys that are so interesting to you. Because those are the guys that are not going to be available.
Because I have a really wide range of guys that I do end up liking. Like,
I know stylistically it's one thing, but emotionally. Mm-hmm. They're going to fit a certain pattern because that's your thing.
But it doesn't, which is really weird.
Well, are they all totally available for intimate relationships?
Some are, some aren't.
Okay, and the ones that are?
Complicated. Yeah.
Well, the ones that are, you sabotage. And the ones that aren't. That's kind of the way that works. But look, you're onto it. You're 16. Gavin makes a great point, which is, look, so do something about it.
Like what?
Right? Well, if instead of sabotaging the relationships with guys that are cool and available, try to have a relationship and hang in with it.
I do, but usually, I've never broken up with a guy. The guy usually breaks up with me.
Over nothing? Nothing you do contributes to that?
I don't know. Maybe I end up being a little bit clean.
Sometimes also that, obviously I don't know what's going on with you, but sometimes that thing where people feel more comfortable, or more healthy to be in a relationship. When you're 16 and there's so much there for you that maybe it's a time to just hold back and just really take your time because there's no rush for you.
Right.
And
so you're clinging for stuff, you're desperately going after stuff, and yet you don't even know what it is to be in a relationship because you've never had a male in your life. These guys aren't working out.
You sound really sweet, and you sound like you got it all there for you. And
it's weird because I want to be a child psychologist.
Well, then patience is a really good thing to take on board.
But
yeah,
I'll tell you what.
I kind of realized that I did have a problem with it. So I've been really trying to look deeper into guys and look for it. Talk to myself and think, can I actually have a relationship with this person or is he just going to cheat on me or let me go?
It's good that you're thinking that way. But again, you're 16. Take it easy. You are interested in this stuff. Why don't you find a male therapist and go through the process of therapy and learn how to have intimacy in that sort of artificial context so you can understand what that is. And then you can take that whole experience with you into your professional life later on.
Okay. Huh? One other really quick question.
Yeah, go.
What are the dangers of dietary supplements or pills?
Which ones?
What is it? Xantrax 3, I think it is.
What's in there? I don't know what's in there.
I don't know.
It's hard for me to tell you.
A friend of mine is taking them, and I'm really worried.
Healthy diet and exercise.
Gavin, that's it. That's it. Everything else, I really believe, everything else is fighting the process of dying. That we really weren't supposed to live past 45 as human beings. And everything that we have to do after that is because we're dying. And anything else before that, unless you have some chronic medical problem or a genuine disease, diet, exercise. Do you do anything special?
I'm really enjoy getting out and smacking some balls around on a tennis court regularly just to really sweat it out and get away from the world of music and whatever else is going on. So I have my outlet like that.
Do you have somebody you play with regularly?
I play quite regularly with lots of tennis players. They like the music. So I have a lot of, I get a lot hit with a lot of people that are really good and it's all relative. So
does
I have
play
fun.
Tennis?
No, she does.
She's from Newport.
She does the gym stuff. I like to do something that the exercise is inadvertent. It just seems to happen. It's a natural consequence.
You have a skill and experience.
Not a focus. Yeah. So I'm focusing on trying to get good at the sport, and by that I get fit.
Do you guys have a gym in your house?
Yeah.
So that's what she does, her stuff.
Yeah,
Corinne
is really, really dedicated to that stuff.
And you like to do it with a team, with other people, and compete?
Well, I just like to get out there and just do something other than just running on a treadmill.
I always tell people the exercise, the best one is the one you'll do. You know what I mean? Understand yourself
exactly.
And do the one you'll do.
Like, what's the hardest thing about writing a song or writing a book? Sitting down to do it.
Right, just doing it. Yeah, good point. Well, you did it with Institute. Distort Yourself is the CD. It's coming out September 13th, it turns out. They're going to be in Los Angeles at the Roxy on August 12th, Phoenix at the Clubhouse August 13th, Dallas Gypsy Tea Room August 16th, etc., etc., August 23rd, Minneapolis Ascot Room. It's going to be quite a tour.
These are little club shows just to kind of get everyone into the idea of Institute as this new band that I'm in and getting excited for the record. And then the proper big tour starts in October.
Oh, wow. Chicago, August 24th. Pittsburgh, August 27th. Check your local listing, and we will take a break. We'll be back with
Kevin
Rossdale after this.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready. Ready.
Loveline, sans Corolla. 1-800-LOVE-191. But Avec, Gavin Rossdale, thank you for joining us again.
It's pleasure to be here.
Pleasure. Institute is the band. Distort Yourself is the CD. Distort Yourself. It's out September 13th. There's a website, institutemusic.com, and we're going back to the calls. This is Roberts 21.
Hey, Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Big fan of you. I think you're one of the smartest men I've ever seen or heard in my life.
Bless you. Thank you, Robert. It's
very nice. Yeah, I got a problem. I come from a broken home. My parents were separated when I was 3, divorced when I was 4. They played mind games with me and my sister to the point where I have trouble trusting anybody.
What were the mind games?
All right, so my dad's side of the family is Southern, and mom's side is Northern, from Michigan and from North Carolina. My dad's
That explains everything. Gavin, you got that?
I got it.
Yeah, okay. It's the Mason-Dixon line. It's a problem. Go ahead.
Yeah. So one of the examples would be she didn't want them talking about, their racist opinions. And so they... I don't know, I kind of was treated like an outcast whenever, family reunions came around, only because they would, they would hide what they actually believed because they didn't want, my mom...
That does not destroy somebody's feelings about their family of origin.
No, but wait. I'm trying to get to this. Hold on. So, later on in life, I kind of realized that they are racist, and I asked my mom about it, and she doesn't know what I'm talking about. She would never do that to me.
All right, whatever, you experienced this as fracturing. It really made you feel fractured internally.
And this now, is just one example. I got
I get it.
Millions of them.
No, I understand. I would say, I bet that the things that really made you feel bad were far more unpleasant and painful, and you just prefer, somewhere those are lost in the memory banks, or just prefer not to think about those. The fact is, it makes sense now that you'd have trouble trusting people or being intimate in relationships. That's why that happens. In fact, there have been some studies on this, and it shows that people that come from these kinds of family, not specific to what you're describing, but things like that, oftentimes have difficulty getting into a stable relationship until they're well into their 30s, like maybe even the 40s sometimes. That it's just something you eventually do get over, but it takes work and it takes time.
Okay.
It just does. If you want to hasten it up, it's about getting therapy. It's the only thing I know that can do it. Or go ahead and try it out. I mean, find somebody who's actually available for a relationship and see how it goes.
And the other one, can I jump in there? Yeah. And because one thing about, like, Robert, you're saying, like, this idea of trouble trusting women. I mean, the thing about it is that you're probably right to be guarded about a number of women you may meet. But that doesn't mean to say there isn't the right one out there. It's just this sort of idea that they should all be trusted. I mean, you'll never get to a point where it should all be trusted, and you'd be right.
That's right.
Maybe your instincts are correct, and you got to meet the right one.
And this whole thing about people are all good or all bad suggests it's part of that whole fracture you felt when you were a kid. The fact is, humans all have their foibles. No human is all good. They all fail at certain things. They all trip and fall and screw things up and cause each other pain. We call that a relationship, and that's the way it goes. And you know what? It doesn't mean the thing has to come crashing down because there's some stress and difficulty. You work it through if you commit yourself, if it's somebody you want to stay with.
And is that also, if judgment is all self-judgment, does that mean he doesn't trust himself? Like, Robert, do you see yourself as a faithful person in a relationship?
Are you asking me if I'm faithful?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, I mean, very faithful, loyal, faithful. I'd do anything for her.
Right. Okay. All right. That's cool. Good for you.
Get in there.
Keep that way.
Yeah. Stay with it. This is a Sierra who's 14. Sierra.
Hi.
What's going on, Sierra?
I really like porn, and
you're 14.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Were you sexually abused growing up?
Kinda. I guess so.
What happened?
My second to oldest brother, he kind of, like, I didn't know it was wrong, and he would, like, touch me and kind of have sex with me.
All right. Well, that qualifies for sexual abuse, and that's sort of what leads to and what can put people at risk for sexual addiction and compulsion. then if you have access to things like pornography at a young age, that kind of cements it in pretty good, Sierra.
Yeah.
So forget about the porn and really think more in terms of getting some help with having been so severely sexually abused. It's your brother having sex with you when you're how old?
I was five.
5 years old. That can be shattering. The people that study these things talk about it shattering your brain's ability to regulate. It reaches the upper limits of a child's brain capacity to understand what's going on, and it tends to be sort of shattering. So that's what you need help with. Tell, you know, I don't know if you have access to somebody, your Visalia. Talk maybe somebody at school, somebody, maybe your doctor. Tell somebody what's happened, and please, if you don't want to live a very long and painful life locked into this shame-based preoccupations that you have, that you think that you can't stop, you can, and you can get help, and things can feel better. It's all right. There's a lot of sexual abuse in this country. Is there much going on in England these days?
Absolutely, I'm sure. Is there? Of course. It's unbelievable, it's a very dark space, and, you know, obviously it's very painful to hear for this poor girl going through that.
You want to talk to her?
Yeah.
Sierra.
Yeah. Hi, this is Gavin here.
Hi.
That's so bad that happened to you. I'm so sorry. And I think that I'm listening to the advice you're being given, which is to just try and seek some help to share that and to try and work it out. And, you know, what's amazing is how brave you are to ring up and express yourself at such a young age. And ultimately, what you're doing is taking steps towards recovering from that.
Just the fact that you called tonight, that you're recognizing something's not right, you're reaching out for help. 3 minutes on the radio is not going to do anything except teach you that there are people that can care about you and help, but you got to actually go get the help now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get better. You know, you'll be fine, you know, because you sound like a really smart girl. So good luck with that.
Thank you.
Okay. This now is Dana, 22.
Hi, I'm calling. Hey. I have a question for Gavin.
He's right here.
Huge, huge, huge Bush fan. I'm so excited. I'm going. Oh.
Not just huge, but huge, huge, huge.
I like that.
Huge. You have no
idea. Keep the huge coming. I like it.
Huge, 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 huge.
Show on Friday.
Oh, great.
So excited to hear the new Institute stuff. I love Bulletproof Skin. I just downloaded it on iTunes.
Oh, amazing. Thanks, Dana.
I was just wondering if you were going to be doing any Bush songs or if you're going to stick to the Institute stuff.
I thought at first when I was thinking about coming to do live shows, I was just thinking that I sort of had an arrogance about Institute. I was like, no, I'm going to just play Institute songs. But then when I sort of canvassed a few people and thought about it myself, I thought it was unfair that, for instance, I take you as a perfect example that has been a great supporter of what I've done. I'd feel bad if I didn't play a few Bush songs for you. So I'm going to be playing a few Bush songs because I think that's what I would like to hear if I could be as objective as possible.
Oh, I'm so excited about everything. You have to play Little Things.
Oh, okay. We're not sure we actually worked that one up, but there's a couple of others.
August 11th, San Diego. August 12th, Los Angeles. Danny, you got to check it out, right?
Definitely.
Thanks for your support.
All right. Oh, sorry. So cut her off. All right, Gavin Rossdale's joining us here in Adam Carolla's spot. CD comes out September 13th, Distort Yourself. The band is Institute. We're going to hear another song from them after the break. The song is called Boombox. You can download the song we just heard. Was that Distort Yourself? No, Bulletproof Skin.
Yep.
At iTunes. And there's also another website, institutemusic.com. Loveline will continue at 1-800-LOVE-191 after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline. Gavin, you like the Gorillaz?
I do. I think it's, yeah, great.
This is they.
This is they.
These are they.
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah, yeah. What's
good,
his name?
Good Bananas.
Good Bananas.
Hi,
Damon Bananas.
I'm Murdoch from Gorillaz. You're listening to Loveline with Adam and Drew.
Comedic genius. Anyway,
you can't call them the Gorillaz. They get pissed. It's just Gorillaz, Drew.
Okay. The Gorillaz.
The Gorillaz are great.
Just Gorillaz.
That was my point.
Don't anger them.
It's my point, too. Gavin Rossdale, Institute is his new band. The CD is Distort Yourself, out on September 13th. Institutemusic.com, or download Is it just the one song at iTunes?
At the moment, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's take some calls.
At the moment.
Gavin's been doing a great job with us tonight. This now is Mike 30.
Yeah, hello?
Hey, Mike, what's going on? You're on Loveline.
Hey, cool. Hey, I had a quick question. Me and my wife occasionally, maybe once a week, have anal sex. I mean, we do, you know, other things. I don't want to talk about too much kinky stuff. But, I mean, as
good
far
times.
As far
oh, it gets worse?
Goes, is that something that can cause physical problems later, or is it something that's just because it's not natural, if it's something that can... have repercussions later on in life or
well, what do you think? Just use your imagination for a second. As people age, that's a part of their body that doesn't work so well. It becomes what we call patulous. It's hard to maintain the tone. The rectum can prolapse. You can get fissuring and hemorrhoids. Now, that's normally. Superimposed on that, somebody cramming something in there and ripping it apart regularly, yeah, I'd predict more trouble. I say so.
Okay.
I'm not sure anybody studied it formally yet, but I think we'll see more problems. Yeah. Makes sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I guess too. Well, there you go. Yeah, but good times.
Okay.
Okay, good times.
Good times.
So here we go. It's Quentin, 21.
Yes. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Quentin.
Big fan, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Though.
Gavin Rossdale is joining us tonight.
Yes.
I've heard your name. Hang on a second. I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Okay. I've heard your name pronounced Rossdale and Rossdale. What's the
Rossdale? Two
Rossdale,
S's. Yes. It's that two S's.
That's
that
what I said. It's two S's. Okay. Here you go, Quentin.
Okay. And Gavin, big Bush fan. Got to
thank
say,
you. Thank you.
Listening for a long time. Really love your work.
Thank you.
And Drew, I was calling.
Yeah.
Over the past few years, the lengths of my ejaculations have extended.
I hope you mean the duration.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
And up as right now, it can last anywhere from like 3 to 5 minutes, and in the end, it starts to hurt.
And things are coming out the whole time?
Yes.
Wow. Fluid is coming
five
out
minutes.
The whole time.
It may be worth the pain. Sorry. That's for
no, I would agree with you.
It's like, God damn.
Yes.
5 minutes, that's a long time.
It sort of defies, have you actually brought a little clock out and timed it?
No, but...
Why don't you do that? I think it may end up being 18 seconds.
No,
it may
no,
feel
no,
like 5 minutes.
It's minutes on end, and I'm starting to get really worried about it.
Can I ask,
well, I would be
can
too.
I ask
your
question?
Your chi is going to suck right out of your body, and you're going to turn inside out. What, Gavin?
No, I just was intrigued. Is that after you've had like a long session? Or obviously that can't come when you just like have a quick session. You know what I mean? That's like,
yeah, how do you do that?
5 minutes. I mean, that's
a
long time.
I don't understand it either, and I'm starting to wonder if some of the meds that I'm on might
there you go.
Have something to do with it.
What I don't understand, I can understand you having contractions for 5 minutes. I can't understand fluid coming out with each contraction
and
you not becoming dehydrated.
And yeah, I do become very dehydrated, and so as of late, I have refrained from sexual intercourse.
No way.
Yes.
No way that you ejaculate so much that you become dehydrated.
Yes. There have been times where I've actually passed out from dehydration, and I've ended up in the hospital.
What'd they put in your chart?
What they put on my chart that I was really dehydrated, and unfortunately, they said it looked like it came from my genital regions. And
what medication you want?
Well, I'm actually on like 12 different medications.
Yeah. What's your diagnosis?
Depression, and
keep
Asperger's
going.
Syndrome.
Asperger's, good. Anything more?
They think I might be bipolar on top of that.
Right.
And they've got me on Wellbutrin. They've got me on Paxil, Zoloft. Prozac. I mean, they've got me on...
Simultaneously?
Yes, simultaneously.
Huh. That doesn't sound right. That's all, multiple serotonin reuptake inhibitors sounds kind of wild. What antipsychotic medicines you on? Zyprexa?
Excuse me?
Zyprexa, Seroquel?
They've got me on Seroquel.
Yeah.
Now my doctor is almost looking into doing
ECT.
Some kind of patch. He hasn't given me a name, but some kind of... Antipsychotic patch.
All right. Okay. Well, here's the deal. We're going to talk about you behind your back again for a second. The antipsychotic patch is the tip-off here. That means he has abnormal perceptions and thoughts about things, and so his perception of what's happening may be different. On the other hand, the Seroquel and some of these medicines can cause prolonged ejaculation, prolonged sort of contractions, but just not a physical way. People don't understand this about their male genital tract. The sperm mixes with something created from the prostate, and then it's stored in something called the seminal vesicles, which are two little sacs that sit under your prostate. When you ejaculate, they empty. And that's it. They're empty. Now, they can fill back up again after a little while, but they're empty. It's not like there's some continuous flow from somewhere. It has to be manufactured, mixed in, fill up the sac, and out it comes.
I get it.
And that's it. That's
what I find intriguing, what I'd love to, wanted to ask Quentin was if he felt better post all these medications. I mean, what was the difference in his life between before he got all these medications and now?
Because if he's got a thought disorder, that's when you end up on the street and talking to yourself.
Poor thing.
But here's the seminal vesicles here. See, I'm showing Gavin a picture in an anatomy chart. This is your prostate.
It's always good on the radio, showing that's pictures on the radio. I like
this. This is your prostate gland.
Yep.
And this thing that's filled up here?
Mm-hmm.
That fills up with the fluid that's made by the prostate gland and pumps from the sperm and all mixes together in here. And it's not like the testes are continually producing something.
Right.
Stuff's just sort of leaking its way into here, in these vesicles. And when they empty. That's it. They're done.
Right.
It's not like you can dehydrate when those won't fill up magically instantly or something.
Well, sometimes when you're really on your game, 5 minutes, it seems like five
That's
minutes.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Let's work with him.
Okay. Here now is Cynthia, 17. Cynthia?
Hi.
What's going on?
My question is, my dad doesn't believe me that his brother molested me as a young age.
Mm.
And I was about 4 at the age.
Oof.
And he touched me, but that really messed me up. And
how did he touch you? What happened?
He touched me my private area, and
in a sexual way, or yes. Could you misinterpreted things, or could it just scared you?
He did, and he molested his granddaughter.
Ooh.
Later in the years.
Mm-mm.
And now he's running away from the cops. But the thing is, I don't know how to convince my dad that he did do it. I mean, my dad thinks that, how can I remember something like that happened to me at a very young age?
Yeah, I think, Cynthia, the way to think about this, I think it's horrible when parents question a child's reporting these traumatic experiences. It just reconfirms your shame and your feelings of responsibility and aloneness with all of this. The fact is, though, one of the reasons parents do this, I think it's sort of a common motivator, it's so painful for them to realize that they failed you that they'd rather put it back on you than take the responsibility on for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's too painful. And especially when it involves someone they care about and trusted. It's just overwhelming for some people. And particularly if they themselves have been a victim of abuse. They, you know, that one of their things they go into child rearing is, well, this will never happen to my kids. And yet magically the way the brain works is they inevitably set it up in such a way without knowing it that it happens to their kids too.
What's your relationship like with your dad on other things? I mean, does he believe you on everything else?
Well, he thinks I'm a big old whore, but I'm a virgin, and I'm going to wait until I'm married.
Cool.
Why would he think that about you? Has he said that to you?
He thinks really bad about me, and I have, a lot of guy friends. Hmm. But, I mean,
Where's your mom in all this?
My mom, I live with my mom now because I couldn't take the abuse that I had with my father.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Dad's abusive.
So he calls you, he has called you a whore.
Hold up, please.
That's shocking to me.
That dad would say something like that? Yeah, yeah. You think your family would explode, eh?
Right.
Come on.
That's,
I mean, my mom believes me because my uncle tried to molest her in the bathroom.
Oh.
Miguel, please, hold up.
She believes you because you're her daughter, and why shouldn't she believe you? You know, you tell the truth to her. I mean, you know, you need help here, and sorry to hear that.
I don't want to go to the police, but, my father, I don't know. I'm afraid that he might,
What would you be trying to do? You want to see
I
him punished for that?
I want a phone call.
You're talking to Gavin.
You're on the radio.
Bush.
Don't worry about it. Slightly more than the phone, but don't worry. It's only 6 million listeners.
Miguel, I'm on the radio, please.
Cynthia, what would your goal be in going to the police?
My goal was to put him in jail.
Just because it would make you feel, prevent you from doing this to other people? You'd feel satisfied with having done something?
Oh, my gosh. Hold up, please. I'm so sorry.
Let's talk amongst ourselves.
Let's do.
Well, that's no way for a father to treat a daughter, right?
Again, yeah, okay. Thank you, Cynthia. It's nice.
Cynthia, welcome back.
Welcome back to our show, Cynthia. Cynthia's been abused by her uncle. Dad won't believe it. He's an abusive a-hole, and mom's on her side. You know, this is up to you. You can call Department of Social Services. It's going to be a grueling process for you. There's going to be no way to prove it. It's going to be your word against his kind of thing. But at least you will have established a record. You may not, you probably won't have enough there to put him in jail. But at least if somebody else comes forward, there'll be a trail there, a pattern. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And then maybe also they'll refer you for some help on your own. Because, again, having been through all that, we've sort of developing a theme here tonight, which we often do.
It's bad enough to go through that, but then to try and express yourself and to be disbelieved. I mean, obviously, for a there's one thing that also comes across a lot of these situation that seems to me as a layman, which is the whole generational thing. So a kid who's Cynthia, you know, and she, her father doesn't want to believe that because then he has to start looking at his own brother
right.
in a whole different perspective, a whole light that he exactly. doesn't want to see him in that.
Exactly. And humans follow very predictable patterns of behavior. It's sort of a typical situation is a woman gets abused as a child. She marries a man who's a sexual abuser who does it to her children. The child steps forward and says, this happened to me. Mom goes into sort of a dissociative state and fugues and can't deal with it. And the child feels unsupported and they should not believe. Catherine, you have a question for Gavin?
Yes. I'd first like to say that I've been a huge fan for a long time. And me and my friend Anne are going on tour to go to the last four shows for
Oh,
Institute.
Great. Great.
Yeah, we're going to go to Boston, Philly, New York, and Pittsburgh.
Nice.
Great. Thank you.
Taking some airplanes and buses. And I just had a question for Gavin to see if he was planning on doing any more movies.
Constantine just now, right?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the thing is, for right now, it's really all about the music, and it's such a relief for me. And weirdly enough, on the few movies that I worked on, all the grips and, all the kind of technicians on it would be like, where's the record? You know, and I sort of felt guilty, like I was betraying my primary love, which is music. So, no plans just right now. But at the same time, there's no harm in reading things that come my way and keeping an eye open. But right now, it's all about Institute.
So nothing you're reading has got your fancy.
There's a couple of things that are really great, and they may be going next year now. So it's just right now. I mean, I've really. Put my heart and soul into this record, and I'm just really grateful about to be given the chance to get out there and have the record come out and go play it. So that's my main, that's my only focus.
Cool. Amy, 18. Amy?
Hi.
Hey.
I was wondering, I'm sorry. Okay, well, I've been dating this black guy for a while, and my dad is really, really racist, and
it's really interesting how this happens all the time. It's like, you know, dad's an a-hole, dad's a racist, so first thing daughter does, goes get a boyfriend that's from another race. Yeah, it's a I'll show dad kind of thing.
Yeah. My question was, it's been getting kind of serious, and my dad knows that I've been dating somebody, but he doesn't know that he's black, and he's been asking for me to bring him over, but I've been thinking that he's been, like, really busy with work and school and stuff like that to avoid the situation, but it's getting kind of hard for me to continue with it. So I was wondering if I should bring him over and just, like, see what happens, or if I should try to end the relationship.
I would end the relationship because of this, but what do you think, Gavin? I'm putting her on hold because her phone line's warm.
The phone is crackly. I think that it's you know, love is more... is the most important thing, you know. So it's really about if you have a relationship with someone that you trust and brings the best out in you, and you bring the best out in them, you move forward from there. And, you know, for your father to be racist is a plainly wrong way of living. So it's not trying to teach him something new, but it's maybe...
I'm going to slow you down. So it's not about reacting to him.
No, it's not about reacting to him. As long as you're not doing it in order to get back at him in any kind of a way, to rebel against him. And if it's heartfelt and it's soulful love, well, let it take its course and tell him gently.
So you tell him first Or would you actually bring the guy over and go, here he is, here's Joe. There you go. Enjoy.
No, I think out of respect, she should tell him.
Tell him first.
Not have him not have him find out in front of the guy.
Yeah, I don't think, you don't want to put the guy through this. Why include him in your dad's craziness? And Amy?
Huh?
There you are. I mean, why would you want to put your boyfriend through this, number one, although you may feel he's supported and sort of, you know, have somebody there for you against your father, but it's not really his business. Your boyfriend shouldn't have to be put through this, A. B, I agree with Gavin. It's sort of disrespectful of your dad to sort of spring something on him. Tell him what's happening, and if he doesn't like it, it's
explain, too bad. Explain to him that this guy makes you happy and he treats you with respect and no father could ask for any more.
And you'd like him to meet him. That's
okay.
It. And what are you going to do? How he's going to react? How he's going to react?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Okay. This is Mark, 18. Mark?
Yeah, hello.
Hey, what's going on there?
Hey, not much, man. How you doing?
Good. You're on the air.
So my problem is about like 3 months ago, I had a rock climbing fall, and I pretty much shattered my entire left side of my body from my hip to up to my shoulder.
Yeah.
And ever since that accident.
How far did you fall?
40, 50 feet.
Wow. Where were you?
I was in Las Vegas at Red Rock Canyon.
Oh, my God. Were you around a bunch of people, or?
Oh, no, I was by myself. I've been rock climbing for about 2 years, so I figured I'd just go out, and I made one mistake.
And were you found there, or did people see you fall? What?
Actually, the cops couldn't find me, so I had to hike out.
What?
Yeah.
For some reason,
they didn't want to track down my GPS, so.
What, did you trigger some sort of alarm or something?
No, I was on my. I actually called the police on my cell phone, and my cell phone has GPS, so they should have been able to find me. But they said they couldn't, and so I had to hike over a mile out.
Oh my God! How long did that take you?
Over an hour, and that's why my heart just about gave out because of all the adrenaline going through it.
No, what do you mean your heart gave out? What happened?
No, my heart didn't go out. It just like they had to. As soon as the ambulance got to me, they had to inject me with something to take my adrenaline off. Because all the adrenaline pumping through my heart was giving it a hard time.
Well, it gives it a rhythm disturbance, but that's just something that happens when you're in a high state like that, stress state. That's you had a young heart; it's not going to give out. What are you on medication now?
No, I'm actually off of it because I was on a Percocet, Lortest, and Vicodin for a while, and they said that stuff was damaging my liver, and so I wanted to quit taking it.
Well, if you were on enough to damage your liver, you were certainly on enough to stop your erections.
Yeah, well, I don't know what stopped it. Just stopped. I haven't been able to get one since my fall, so I don't know if it was the medication or if something happened during my fall. Or
how long have you been off the opiates?
Half a month.
2 weeks.
Yeah, about.
Are you on anything else?
No.
No medicine.
None at all.
And did you have any internal injuries?
I had a punctured lung and something for my heart or other. Because I guess I damaged it. Somehow.
But nothing in your pelvis? No urinary problems?
No, I fractured my pelvis.
You know, you should see a urologist to make sure there's not some sort of internal injury that occurred here. But I bet it's just all those opiates. I mean, it takes a week for your body to recover from that reasonably. 2 weeks also would not be a reasonable period of time, an unreasonable period of time for you to just withdraw from those substances. So I'd be more inclined to blame... You're on high doses of opiates. I'd be more inclined to... Are you... Let me ask one other thing. Are you doing anything else? You smoke a lot of pot or anything else you're doing?
No.
Nothing. All right. But then, of course, also, you had a huge injury. It's possible some sort of internal injury occurred. The possibilities of that are sort of numerous. I don't want to list all those right now. Get it checked out, but I think it's probably the meds. Al, 19. Al? Caller goes by Al?
Hello?
Oof. Al, what's going on?
Not much. I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. Well, I've been going out with this girl since about January.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's been, like, kind of a normal relationship. And then, like, somewhere in between, like, March and April, she's had, like, kind of, like, depression problems and stuff like that. And she went to see, like, whoever you see about that, and she was diagnosed with bipolar disease.
What's the question?
The question is, I tried to break up with her a couple of weeks ago because I'm not really into her anymore, and she threatened to commit suicide, and she pretty much almost did. So So, and she's a cutter on top of that. Mm. So I took her back. I was like, oh, no, it's all right.
Oh, boy. And do you want to know how to get out?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what do you think?
That's a really tricky one. I mean, because now you're taking on responsibility for her, which is totally imbalanced and unfair and inappropriate. So it's you're coming from an unhealthy standpoint. I mean,
and really, you're lying, right?
It's taking it from the point of view of whether you want to be with her or not. Like you said, you don't really want to be here, be there for her. So very, very tricky. But you really ultimately cannot be responsible for someone else because people have to take their own responsibility. So I think it's all about being gentle and trying to explain your position, right?
So keep the pressure up. Keep trying to get out.
I think unfortunately that is the case. Maybe it's a case of perhaps speaking to people, her family or friends.
Exactly.
She has and
exactly.
Trying to get support for her otherwise.
Precisely. I think build a structure around this. Tell her family. Tell her friends. Maybe even tell the physicians and whatnot, therapists are taking care of her, so she has something to fall into when she begins to act out when you, in fact, do leave. And when you do make your move, be swift and sure. Just got to be out, and that's it. No contact, no nothing, and you get away, because any contact is going to lead to tremendous chaos. And it's really tough, Alan. You want to be a human being, and you want to really be concerned about this woman who could genuinely hurt herself based on what you do. As Gavin is absolutely right, you're not responsible, and that's no kind of relationship. That's a hostage. That's not a relationship. All right, Gavin, you having fun so far? Still having fun?
Sure.
Gavin Rossdale is gracing us again.
I mean, I'm not having fun when these poor people are having these problems.
It's love line.
Having fun in between.
All right, let's get some. Hey, Patricia, get us some more upbeat calls. We call them bowling pins in the rear of calls. Come on, here we go. Come on. Let's break it down, guys, as Adam would say. Gavin Rossdale, the new band is Institute. The CD is called Distort Yourself. It's out September 13th. They have a website, institutemusic.com. You can check out the tour dates on the website. Is that right?
Yeah, tour dates up there.
Tour dates coming up. You can also download Bulletproof Skin at iTunes. Somebody just called us and told us they had done that, in fact. And
God bless them.
I'm not gonna. Well, we got a chlamydia call. We got a virginity call. Ooh, but I want to get some more sort of classic Love Line calls. Really impress Gavin. So bring those on in, and we'll be back with at 1-800-LOVE-199. Let me do that again. 1-800-LOVE-191. More Love Line after this.
You can't articulate yourself any better than that.
Hello, this is your radio. Radio Love Line will be right back.
That's right. Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. Gavin Rossdale tonight. Institute is a new band. And since it's Love Line, I can't help but ask you about your own life and relationship. Mm-hmm. How'd you guys meet, you and Gwen?
She No Doubt came on tour with Bush.
And, was it love at first sight kind of thing?
I met her at Universal Amphitheater. It's kind of set the pattern for our relationship. A lot of backstage. Well, the funny thing was that the story goes that we were on the same label and they sent me the CD of the music. And I was like, her music of the Tragic Kingdom record. And I was like, well, there's some really, I understand some of the songs are really good on here, but I didn't see the connection between the two bands.
Bush and No Doubt.
So I found it a little confusing until I met Gwen. And then she came backstage and meet her and at that moment, I thought this is the greatest idea, the best band we could ever go on tour with.
Just so, because you were into her.
Yeah, because she was amazing.
That's very funny.
So from that point on, it was great. And then when I first saw her on tour, she came out to, and she was actually, I remember I was sound checking, and she came into the arena and was on the rollerblades. And I felt the love, from like 300 feet away. I thought she was great. And
did you have to chase, pursue?
We did.
Or was it pretty mutual?
I think it was pretty mutual, but she's a good girl. So she just, it was a few weeks, and then we've actually finally just found a way to be together in New Orleans, and we drank the Hurricanes. At Mardi Gras. We had a fun night, and then I guess you could say we've been together ever since.
Did you imagine this was the person you'd marry?
No, not necessarily, because at that point I just wasn't even convinced I could ever meet that. But
because
but,
of your family of origin experience.
Well, just also because I just felt that
you didn't want to.
Who, you know, I used to always ask my friends. Let me put it another way. I used to ask my friends who had made the leap to get married.
Yeah.
I'd say, I'd be really intrigued by that. I'd like, what is this club that you guys are in? What happened? What door did you go through? And it's one of those really frustrating things that you just have that moment where you just figure it out. You kind of have a, you're facing, you know, two doors and you know, which one to go through. And it was just pretty.
What are the two doors?
To pursue and to commit to this one person
versus leave that behind,
cornucopia of variety and shapes and types and races
that wouldn't include that person.
Well, it wouldn't be monogamous, you know. So I just figured that you know, I was going to be hard pushed to meet anyone remotely as amazing. So I made that plunge, and here I am.
You guys married how long?
Nearly 3 years.
3 years. And was there anything surprising about marriage for you?
Just the fact that you have to, as a man, you really learn the art of compromise. You really just realize that there's a quick way to resolution, which is to agree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just gets
not sure that I'm not sure that's compromising so much as capitulating.
Perhaps, but you're smarter than I am, so I call it compromising.
All right, let's take another Gavin question. Yeah, she may be listening. This is John 24.
Hey, I just have a quick question for Gavin.
Go ahead.
How does the rest of Bush feel about this other project? And do they have your blessing and everything? And also, I'm surprised at the amount of depth that Gavin has shown on the show tonight.
God, really? You didn't know that about him?
I sure didn't.
Thank you. Well, it's a bit like, in a way, it's kind of quite emotive for me to talk about it, because I on one hand, with the rhythm section, Dave and Robin, I feel bad for those guys because I know they would like to be still doing Bush, but really this came about from the guitar player just making a very fair decision and respectable decision, really wanting, he missed his first kid growing up, the first couple of years of his kid's life, then the second child he had, he was at home more and really got to really dig the changes that we traditionally hear about every single day. There's a different look on the kid's face and those kind of things. And he just really took the decision that that's where he felt his life was for now. So really, the truth about it is that the three of us were sort of left dangling and not knowing what to do. And me doing this band Institute was just my desire and refusal to allow that to get in the way. I just wanted to continue making music, and I've been lucky enough to find this other band to be in. So that's the bottom line. So I think I have some blessing, but probably some less blessing feelings from some of them.
Speaking of this other band, why don't we hear another song from Institute?
That'd be great.
This song is called Boombox.
Disciples,
Is Institute. The song is Boombox. We almost heard another song there by Institute. They can't download.
We got loads of them.
They can't download that one at iTunes, though. Is that right?
No, that's right. That's Boombox, and that's just off of the record.
Distort Yourself is the record. You can get it on September 13th.
A really appropriate track for Love Lines, with the chorus being Lovers and Dangerous Love Will Find a Way Through Everything.
Gavin and I were talking off the air about, you know, on Love Line, we talk about the more extreme situations. And I'm always afraid on Love Line we're going to give the impression that if you've got a little bit of drama in your relationship, oh, forget it, it's over. And I'm really not saying that. I'm saying if it's built on a history of real serious abuse and stuff, the probability is you're going to have trouble. But all of us, you know, a little drama, a little passion, it's not a bad thing. It's a human thing.
It's a great thing.
Here's you got that, you and Gwen, a little drama, a little.
Absolutely, and passion. It's all about that. But I'm, you know,
drama.
All for that.
That's the comedy too.
And the drama. You know, bits of drama, but like there's something we were talking about off air that when you get married, some of the drama, you know, because that's like the histrionics of it, you know,
yeah.
Comes down to a bit more realistic, but definitely the passion, always the romance.
Gavin was saying that they'd fight, but then go, hey, we share the same bathroom. All right, let's just get along, forget. Let's figure this out.
You can't disappear for 2 days
that's
anymore.
Right. You can't just go off screen. Although people do that, you know, they do it. And when they are used to that kind of chaos, they'll do that.
Right.
And that's not so good. It's Mike 19.
Hi, I'm from Modesto, and I have syphilis. I'm pretty sure I got it. Anyways, what up, Drew, Adam, and Gavin? I have a couple questions for all of you.
Hold on.
Yeah.
What makes you think you have syphilis?
All right, well, I have a discharge, and it's...
Okay, well, one of the things that syphilis does not do is cause a discharge.
What about gonorrhea?
It could be gonorrhea, it could be non-gonococcal urethritis, could be chlamydia, it could be a lot of things, but it's not syphilis. Syphilis is a ulcer that goes, it's painless, and it goes away, and then a few weeks later you get a rash all over your body, classically on your palms as well. So there you go. You don't have syphilis.
Okay,
Okay, but gonorrhea can be treated and taken care of pretty quickly.
Yeah, but you don't have that either.
Hours,
so what,
hours, minutes, come on, I'm a time man, come on.
Okay.
Go to the doctor tomorrow.
Mike's an a-hole. This is John, 25.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, what's up, John?
I just want to say I'm a really big fan. I work nights, PMs, 3 to midnight, and or 11, and I've been listening to you guys for years.
Cool.
And Adam, you've got more, you're very talented.
And, too bad he's anyway, not here tonight. Too bad Adam's not here tonight. Adam is.
We're going to leave him a note.
He's gone all week. But we do have an interesting week. We have Gavin Rosta. There are people co-hosting with me on his behalf. Gavin's in here tonight, you know, from Bush, his new band Institute. Nicole Sullivan tomorrow night. Got Jimmy Kimmel, the great Jimmy Kimmel on
great
Thursday
Jimmy
night.
Kimmel.
And what's your question, John?
Well, I mean,
don't you have to ask John why he would think that?
Why he would think Adam's here?
I mean, it's beyond me how he's listening to the show and he doesn't know.
I know. Especially, it's one
he's
thing.
He's been off work for a few days, fair enough.
Off work. But it's one thing if he. Okay. It's one thing if he didn't know I was here, but if he didn't notice that Adam wasn't yapping, I don't know how you could miss that. Anderson's point.
My radio is being worked on, and it's not working right now, so I can't hear you. I just called. I've actually identified my problem by listening to you for years and finally realized that I have a sex problem.
What's the problem?
Every time I'm in a committed relationship, I feel the need to continually be with other women. And I really don't want to.
Yeah, but you're 25. Some of that is just not being ready for a committed relationship. Right?
Well, it just seems that every time I get with someone that I really care about, I kind of tend to screw it up by cheating on them.
All right. And that ruins the relationship?
What's that?
So you make sure that sabotages the relationship?
Well, I think so. This is what I've been getting from listening to you.
Well, it's not like you cheat. You're not a secret cheater. You're a cheater where you make sure the girlfriend finds out and you screw everything up.
Correct.
All right. Correct. So you have trouble with intimacy, basically.
That's what I'm wondering if I do, because, I've only been in a couple committed relationships, and both times I didn't realize this until I've been listening to you guys, and I hear what you've been telling other people.
Yeah. Do you come from a family where there's trouble?
My parents were pretty messed up as far as their relationship went. I mean,
all right, so it's tough for you to have intimacy. It's just tough for you to trust that. You tend to not know it when you have it and sabotage it when you do. That's part of coming out of that kind of a family system. But the fact, though, is still you're 25, and I don't know, guys at 25 sometimes can be pretty squirrely and not be ready or sort of capable of being in a committed relationship. And that's okay, too. Just don't kid yourself. You don't have to have a committed relationship at 25. Gavin, you agree?
Definitely. I mean, I think it is really difficult, especially when the media and the world is based upon the beauty allure of women, and you know, and at 25 it's all about proving yourself to yourself and to your friends, and plus I'm sure some alcohol is involved and losing perspective here and there. I just think that hang on in there, and when the time is right and you find the person you want to be committed to, you will. I think the trick that all of us learn is just understanding consequences. You know, and if you can find consequences to your actions, it's a pretty surefire way of trying to curb some of that behavior. You know, before you enter into an adulterous situation, maybe you want to think of the consequences and what you might be losing, and that might stop you or not.
And again, you're 25, you're 28, 29, and you want to be in a committed relationship and can't. It's a time for therapy, really. That's about, if you really want to go at how can I solve this problem, that's how you can solve that problem. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191 with the great Gavin Rosdale, the gentleman Gavin Rosdale, who's been kind enough to fill in for Adam Carolla. His new band is Institute. September 13th, the CD is coming out. It's called Distort Yourself. And Gavin and I, Dr. Drew, we will be back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Gentleman scholar Gavin Rosdale's in here tonight. His new band is Institute, and we were just talking about the fact that I was at the happiest place on earth this afternoon, Disneyland, with my kids, because my son's got a baseball tournament down in Placentia.
Gay.
Now, where your wife grew up in Anaheim. Right. My wife's Orange from the OC also. And you were just saying that you were able to go to these parks, and
we've been to them a few times. And I was just,
I'm surprised you guys can walk through a park like that.
Well, it's probably, it's sometimes not the greatest idea. But I was just the story I was telling was how funny it is, how like when we're queuing up on the line and how people are really excited to see it first.
When there's that back and forth backtracking.
But
line.
When the line by the fourth time around of seeing us, they're kind of over it. You know, yeah, Gavin and Gwen, whatever. You know, seeing that, get past me a hot dog.
Because you're coming by face to face the same people over and over each time you go back and forth. And
first three times is very exciting. The next eight times gets less so.
Of course, they're now. I mean, I bet you I know what's going through their mind too, which is that they're embarrassed about how they'd reacted three times ago, three go rounds ago. Yeah, Disney, you know, waiting in lines for an hour. It's good times, good times,
good times, good lines, good lines.
It's great too. You know, go to see the new rides. Of course, the waiting the new rides are like 2 hours. So we went back to the Tiki House. Yeah, nothing like those old rides. Okay, here now is Scott 19. What's going on, Scott?
Give me another cigarette.
No, I don't have any more.
Oh, nice. Dropped the F word before you even got in here.
Tobacco and swearing. I like it. You got
well
a future.
Done. Well done. Let's get a question for Gavin. Zay 21.
Hi. Just Hi, laughing Zay. About the previous caller.
He's pretty funny. He's not. He's really mad at his friend.
Yeah, it sounded like
his friend wouldn't give him a cigarette.
Dr. Drew, I think you're great. You're so wonderful and patient, and I'm a huge fan of Gavin. I think the new music sounds great. That last single was really, really, really good.
Yeah, it's good.
Thank you. Boombox, yeah.
Yeah, cool. I was just wondering, what current bands are you listening to?
Right now, I mean, there's that record of Arcade Fire. These guys from Montreal, and it seems to be what's weird. It's this kind of situation where a record just starts to catch fire just slowly, and everyone seems to be talking about them. And it's a really cool record, Arcade Fire. Uh-huh. And also, I listen to, I like TV on the Radio. I like that band a lot.
Okay.
They're kind of weird and interesting from Brooklyn. And then reggae stations, and obviously K-Rock.
Of course. I also had to say thank you so much. My boyfriend and I had our first date at a Bush show, and we've been together for 5 years. So
wow.
Well, cool. Time.
You better come to the Institute show and make sure you stay together.
There you go. Jennifer, 21.
Hi.
Hey, Jennifer. Jennifer from the OC also. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Great. I'm good. Thank you. No, my boyfriend and I were out with a couple of friends the other night. We were drinking, just bar hopping and stuff. And we were kind of drunk, and they pulled the whole, if you girls kiss, we'll kiss type thing.
Oh, yeah.
And
by the way, that's your boyfriend right now saying, are you on the radio right now?
No. He doesn't know I'm calling. No, so we kissed anyway. And it was over, and then when we were going to our next destination, the girl kind of pulled the move on me, and I just went for it, and we started kissing again. And my boyfriend got upset, and I wasn't aware that he was getting upset, and he was pissed off, and we went down to the beach, and he ended up leaving me at the beach. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning.
You and he went down to the beach, or you and this girl went down to the beach?
All of us four. So my boyfriend, the girl, and the girl's other friend. And then we walked off, and we were at the beach, and then he ended up leaving, and I was all by myself at the beach at 3 in the morning.
You and he walked off together, and then he just abandoned you there?
Yes, uh-huh. And
did you have a fight or something?
Well, we started talking, and we were talking about, like, moving out and stuff, and he asked if I wanted to move in with him, and I said no way because I can't deal with his mom, and he ended up leaving. And I was like, oh, whatever, they're probably down the beach. Eventually, I, like, went back down because I figured it was probably time to leave, and they were all gone.
What's your question?
And when I asked him why...
We tire of you, Jennifer. What's your question?
It's a good story, though.
There we go.
I know, yeah, I should write a book or something. No, when I asked him the next day why he was so pissed, he felt that I had cheated on him with this girl. And I'm not a bisexual or anything. And I would just want to know, like, am I in the wrong? Should I have not done that? Or is he, like, completely...
Well, I understand how he perceived this. The first time was you doing that for him, you see. That's when it was okay.
On his terms.
On his terms for him. When you actually did it for one another because she was the other girl was turned on or something, no, that's not okay. That's not good.
Okay.
I think that's called a bruised ego. I think what we have here is severely bruised ego.
Yeah, I think that you just have 21-year-old male stuff. There's a lot of testosterone creates a lot of aggression and anger and defensiveness and territoriality. A lot of that when you're in that age. He'll probably get over it if he's into you. Would you say?
Absolutely. Okay. And so he should.
Well, again, we have to wrap up in a few minutes. We're going to take one more commercial break. But anything else you want to say about the upcoming tour or the CD, September 13th?
Just really excited to be taking it on, you know. So I look forward to seeing everyone out there. And thanks for all the support through the years. And I hope that everyone enjoys the record.
And Gavin, I'll be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
That's about it for Loveline. Tomorrow night, Nicole Sullivan from Mad TV, a dear, 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 dear friend of the show from way back. We haven't seen her in quite some time. And another dear, dear friend who's helped us out tonight, Gavin Rostow. It's been a real pleasure, and thank
Thanks
you for
having me.
Gracing us and joining us once again. It's interesting to hear your thoughts. And I one call standing out in my mind tonight where the guy's saying, well, Gavin, I didn't know you were thoughtful and smart. It's like, I that's what I think with Gavin, a thoughtful, smart gentleman. So
thank you.
Here you all are. There he was. The band is Institute. The CD is Distort Yourself. You can get it on September 13th, or you can download Bulletproof Skin. I don't know why I choke on the name of the song, at iTunes immediately.
It's quite a mouthful.
Quite a mouthful. And in the meantime, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla, whose new show is premiering tonight, saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.